Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
That's the sound of rock cracking, or maybe the sound of ice cracking where you are, but it is the sound of politics moving on, and we're glad to have you. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and I'm your host, Ed Holliday. We're glad to have you. We've got some new listeners. Several of you said you're going to listen to the show this week, so I know we have some new listeners. We welcome all our new listeners, and we invite you to tell your friends and neighbors about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because working together, we will make a difference in this nation. And we have a lot to do in 2014. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about this week. This week, do you know what the unemployment numbers are? Do you know what jobs created means? Do you know what the workforce participation means? Well, if you don't know those for sure and what it means, you better listen to today's show, because numbers came out the first week of January. We're going to be talking about that and playing some clips where some other people talk about it. And we're also going to be getting this week's Unaffordable Uncaring Act update. It continues to unravel, and we will tell you some more problems that are going on, and the American people are responding, and they're frustrated, and it's about time we start. I'm not going to say it's time to march in the streets, but it's time the Democrats should be worried, because they have put this thing on the American people, a burden that's too much to bear. Now, what else we have today's show? Well, let me tell you this. I'll have a segment that let me just give you some words. A wolf, an Eskimo, a knife, and $17 trillion national debt. What do those words have in common? Well, keep listening to today's show, and we're going to put those together for you in a way you won't hear anywhere else. I've told you, you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you know you'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And we're going to start out with a clip from Rick Santelli. And you remember Rick Santelli, the granddaddy of the Tea Party movement. His rant on television was what helped people say, hey, we need a tea party. Now, what Rick Santelli said about the numbers of January when the numbers were given, well, let's just listen to him and see what he says.
Talking about the employment report, and listen, there's nothing we all want more than to have people have jobs, have that feeling you get when you work. I understand that, but it seems like it's a brick wall trying to get through onto the job side. We lost 347,000. We just don't count them. They were unemployed. Poof. Not that they have a job. They just disappeared. So we see the unemployment rate go down. We talked about this years ago, that maybe the best news isn't the unemployment rate going down. Maybe it's the unemployment rate going up. And one of the other barriers, of course, to get into the labor market is education. The stats are all there. So we could listen to the Labor Secretary give us all this anecdotal evidence that he knows what people are eating, whether it's bonbons or steaks, but he doesn't. But there are studies and there are ways. Structural unemployment, don't pay people to be structurally unemployed. That's insulting.
Once again, Rick is right. It is insulting. You don't get paid to be structurally unemployed. Listen, we need jobs. And this administration is what Rick Santelli is talking about. Been 6 years in, and day one they said they need jobs. We bled jobs, we lost jobs, and I still believe someone's cooking the books to make the unemployment numbers go down. All they care about was the unemployment numbers. I believe we talked about it on this show before the elections of 2012, and they continue to see unemployment numbers goes down. And I gave a prediction in the first show of the year, predictions for 2014. I still believe if some people that could get in there and find out what's going on, how these statistics come out of the Labor Department, we are going to see some scandal because the numbers just don't add up with what's going on in America. Now, one of the reasons we do have the lower unemployment rates, like they said, we got people who stopped looking for jobs. And what we need is the workforce participation number, the lowest since 1978. We're going to talk about that more and play some clips of some others talking about that. But you got to understand what Rick Santelli is saying. These numbers do stink. We got people who want jobs. They don't want to be structurally unemployed. They don't want even an unemployment benefits if they can get a job. And we can't in this stagnant economy. It's like swamp water. Swamp water gets stagnant and you start getting mold and decay because there's no fresh water running through in the swamp. It's getting that way with jobs. People are tired of what's happening in this administration. It's not working because they have the far left philosophy. Socialism is ingrained in their brain, and socialism is being ingrained in America. We've got to reject it. Even though socialism is ingrained in the brain of the liberal Democrats in the White House, it does not mean it has to drain the profitability and the prosperity potential out of this nation. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Rick Santelli makes one more good point, and then we're going to move on to another clip.
Let's get them through the wall of employment. Now, another barrier to entry is, in my opinion, some of the stock markets. You know, the debate between Wall Street and Main Street. So on the Wall Street side, I see things like Tesla. What, 18 billion market cap? I look at Netflix, 20 billion market cap. I look at Twitter, 30 billion market cap. But I think the king of them all, the king of the mountain, this has to be Facebook, 140 billion market cap. We're talking over here to traders. One trader said, geez, with a market cap like that, they could buy Greece and still have money left over to put a down payment on Portugal. But the point is, are these stocks fairly valued? And the feeling of Main Street because they can't get jobs and Wall Street because of the high flyers. But I think the barrier to entry I worry as much about for people to get in the labor market is the barrier to entry to why a Facebook or a Twitter. Listen, okay, let's say you have three brilliant programmers and you bring them in a room. You can emerge with the next Facebook or the next Netflix or the next Twitter especially. So the barrier to entry is very low, and you need to be careful, because when the barrier to entry is low, your stock might go down.
Now that's Rick Santelli giving his rant about what will happen if you're invested in a company, if you have stock in a company that has a low barrier to entry, meaning other companies can make a similar product or use a similar technique to make a product. And he's saying a lot of these companies are way overvalued. He made a joke about the value of Facebook and being able to buy Greece and put a down payment on Portugal. The stock is so high. But really, the reason I want to play that, because you need to understand that barrier to entry, that's what happens when government overregulates, and regulates more and more. It really is like lowering the standards, to entry, the barriers to entry. Because what happens is you try to get people more equalized, you put in more laws, you put in more regulations. And when the Declaration of Independence says we were all born equal, and it doesn't mean we're all Michael Jordans, that doesn't mean that we're all Ben Franklins or Thomas Edisons or Martin Luther King Jr.'s. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is we have an equal chance. And when we have an equal chance, that means the playing field is laid down. But when you are in the game and you're trying to change the rules and bring in more regulations and bring in so many regulations, that what it does, it keeps the entrepreneurs away. It keeps the bright young minds from redeveloping new plans and business models. It keeps things not... It doesn't keep things moving powerfully in a way that tears down the system that's not working to build a new system. What it does is it causes what I said before. It's like that stagnant swamp water. The more regulations, the less of the creative energy that flows through our economy. And just like Rick Santelli was talking about, that seemingly stocks can go down when they get competition. That is good. If you can make something better than another company, it inspires entrepreneurs. It inspires the creative genius of capitalism. And the more regulations, you take that desire to win out. You take out that desire and that drive. And we still got it in America, but it could be so much better. That's why we got a sluggish recovery. I don't think we even have a recovery. I still say I believe some of these numbers are being cooked up by this administration to get the unemployment number down. And as we talked about, as the unemployment number went down, Rick Santelli said it, what we need to look at is how many people are working. Like he said, 347,000 people just disappeared. That's why the unemployment numbers went down in January. And we don't have as many workers, but I guarantee you we got more people retiring and more people depending on what the people are pulling the wagon. Now, how many people can keep pulling that wagon when so many more are getting on top of the wagon to get pulled? Well, we got deep into this, and I told you that this is an important subject, and that's why we're covering it in today's show. We're dedicating that this show to help you understand these numbers and what's going on in our economy. And I'm trying to paint that picture to realize we are in a stagnant swamp water because of the liberal policies, everything from the Dodd-Frank banking rules. Have you been to your banker? Have you asked your banker if they really like these Dodd-Frank rules? Have you tried to get a loan for a house? Do you understand the paperwork that has been just made monstrously more? And it's cutting out the building process. It costs so much. Talk to some builders. It costs so much more now to build a building that old buildings are becoming more valuable because they're already built. And that's what happens with the rules and regulations. And I wanted you to understand it's so important to get this election year in everybody's minds that this stagnant rules and regulations that are they're not slowing down, folks. They're getting more and more. They said last year is almost doubled the number of regulations that had come in the year before from the federal government. So let's remember, don't get mad. Get out and vote. This is not a time to blow your steam off, or you can blow your steam off, but get behind a candidate that can help knock out the leaders that we have in this American government. We can't unelect Obama. We can't get him out. So everything we can do to get out the people that support him, that means the Democrats. And we got to send a message. This is the year to get the Democrats out of power. And I'm sorry, if you're a Democrat, you need to go run and run on some conservative ideas. The Democrat ideas have not worked in 5 years. We're seeing the silver lining is that we are seeing, and people are starting to believe that what they've been hearing has been wrong. Now, what can we do to get this nation turned around? We got to talk about some of those things. And let me stop right here and remind you, yes, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. You can go to my Facebook page. We want to get more likes on that page, and we'll put some things on there during the week. We won't just flood it with things, but we do want to put some things up that we can't get to on the show. So go to the Facebook, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can just go to Rock Splitting Politics on Facebook and like us and keep up with what's going on there. Also, you can go to my website. Go to the front page here. Go to the website, and you can order my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, other books there, and we'll be glad you did. Now, I want to tell you, we do have some good friends, and they're at Freedom Works. Our friends at Freedom Works, Matt Kibbe there, you can click on that picture of him as Freedom Works goes and helps the grassroots to get involved in this American experiment. That's what the founders called it, the American experiment, and they may wonder how it's going. And if you aren't participating, if you are not getting involved, then you're not a part of the experiment. You're a guinea pig if you're not involved. So get out. And so many people did not vote last time, and you saw what we got. 4 more years of the liberal socialist passion to tear this country's capitalistic free market ideas down. Can we ever return? May not, if we don't get going with some action this year in 2014. Now, take a listen to this, and then we're going to kick off the second half of the show. Well, let me remind you, yes, we do. We have that story about the Eskimo, the knife, and what it means with $17 trillion in debt. You'll hear it here. You won't hear it anywhere else. So make sure you listen to the second half of the show, and we got a couple more clips to help better explain the economic numbers that came out the 1st of January. Very important to try to get these details into your mind so you can tell your friends and neighbors, because they don't understand how the government is controlling some of these figures and trying to manipulate people's minds. They ought to be out marching in the street, because we still don't have jobs. And this president been talking about getting jobs for 6 years now and focusing on jobs, and he has failed. Okay, we're about to kick off the second half of the show, and I will be telling you some of the updates on the Unaffordable Uncaring Act, something you need to know, a little bit more on the economy. But first, I got to tell you a story about an Eskimo, a knife, sharp knife, and this $17 trillion debt. Actually, this is a takeoff on a story told by Paul Harvey many years ago, but I want to explain it to you in a little different way, and we need a little music to get into this, so let's see. Let's get ready for an Eskimo in the snow and with a sharp, sharp knife, and let's get ready. Take a listen to this, and then I'm going to tell you a story.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our
Okay, this is Doc Holliday's version of a Paul Harvey story from many years ago. Let's put a little twist on it, update it to 2014. Where are we today? We have a national debt of over $17 trillion and growing leaps and bounds. No sign of it stopping. So what does that mean for America? What happens? Why can't we cut the debt? The Congress that so severely hated the sequester, they finally got rid of it. This new budget committed new budget, $1.1 trillion more spending. They got rid of the sequester and said they're going to save money in years ahead. Well, that's what the sequester was supposed to say. No, let's start saving it now. We can't even get through the sequester. And we got a Congress up there that every time somebody wants money, it's thirsty, it's hungry, hungry like a wolf, hungry like a wolf. And this is what happens when you get liberals in charge of the pocketbooks of America. The Republicans say, we're going to cut taxes, we're going to give money back, we're going to get this budget balanced, we're going to do things, and they get criticized, and before you know it, they've lost all their guts, everything that they've wanted. But you know what? They're not the only thing that'll lose their guts. Let me tell you, there was an Eskimo one time, and he wanted to go wolf hunting. There's a wolf that was giving him trouble, his family trouble. And the only thing he had to hunt the wolf was a knife. He took that knife and he sharpened it. He sharpened it. And I want you to think about something. Our Congress is, every time they spend more money than we have, every year they spend billions, hundreds of billions of more dollars than we have. What they are doing is, it's like putting blood on that knife. And that's what this Eskimo did. He went and he planted that knife in some ice, good and solid, and he put some blood on that blade. And that's what every congressman, every senator, the president, everybody wants more and more money. It's like a hungry wolf. And this wolf representing America, we should be trying to take care of the wolf. We should be like an environmentalist that wants to take care of this wolf. But you know what? That wolf is like America. And what happened to that wolf when he He smelt that blood on the edge of that sharp knife. And that wolf goes up and he starts licking that knife. And that knife cuts his tongue. And that wolf, in his thirst for more blood, licked it harder. And that lust for blood, the wolf kept licking and licking, and he's slicing his tongue up, but he was so in love and so engulfed with licking that blood and tasting the blood, he didn't realize that it was his own blood, and that wolf bled to death. That wolf died. Ladies and gentlemen, America is like that wolf. They've tasted this government spending. We're spending more and more, and every time we spend more, we're cutting ourselves, we're bleeding red ink, we're bleeding and bleeding, and people say we got to have more. Where's the compassion? Where is the compassion to say stop the madness before we bleed to death for this whole environment, this whole country, this environment of economic activity that we have comes crumbling down? We've talked about it before. There's one lady in Detroit, couldn't believe her retirement would be 16 cents on a dollar. That's what America's headed for. Our young people. Where's the compassion for our young people? Where are our young people? Are they starting to wake up? Well, I'm going to tell you some more about that at the end of the show. So there's something coming up I want you to hear from our young people, and I'll tell you that at the end. But I want you to understand the Eskimo and the knife and putting blood on the knife. And that wolf represents America. America should be strong, and it should be strong economically. And yet its thirst to spend more and more will kill our economy. Where is the compassion for our young people who are going to go to school and have nowhere to look for good jobs? They're not coming out to getting good jobs. We are failing our children and your grandchildren because we don't have a robust economy that lets them rise up. And what happens? This whole economy stagnates, and then people don't want to retire, and people can't retire, and so they stay in the job longer. And what happens? The young people can't move up the ladder, and they're stuck in low-paying jobs. And then you get a stagnation, the swamp water effect. And then you get people who say, we got to raise the minimum wage because there's no way these people can survive. They can't survive on minimum wage. They're not supposed to. It's supposed to be a robust economy where you can jump from one job to another. If you don't like that job, there's another job. There's another job being trained for in a robust economy. We can do that. We don't have a robust economy because we don't have people who know how to create jobs in the leadership. I hope we don't bleed to death before we can get some new leaders elected. 2014 must be a pivotal year. Think of that wolf. That is a grotesque story. A wolf slicing his tongue over and over in his lust for blood. He didn't realize it was his own blood, and he died. We are spending money every time this government, every year, it spends hundreds of billions of dollars we don't have, $17 trillion. People, that's not a billion. That's $1,000 billion that we're in debt. That $17 trillion is like $17,000 billion. Oh, wow. Those numbers are so big and people don't realize it. And we are bleeding to death, red ink everywhere. Wake up, America. Wake up and get out and do something about it. Thank you for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We want to inspire you to get out. Think about that wolf cutting its tongue, the Eskimo and the knife. Is that Eskimo like Russia or China? They want us to bleed to death so they can take over? Very well, could be. They sure don't want to. They don't want to see us stop bleeding. We got to get to this week's Uncaring and Unaffordable Act update. Before we do, I want to talk a little more about this economy. So take a listen to this clip right here.
All right, the new monthly jobs report's just crossed. We get the numbers now from CNBC's Michelle Caruso Cabrera. Michelle.
Ugly number. Ugh. Number of jobs created in December, 74,000.
Oh, good
the
Lord.
Expectation was 200,000. There's some talk that maybe the cold weather kept some folks at home, mm-hmm. either not looking or hurt construction jobs,
Michelle,
for example.
That's a horrific
Awful.
Number. That's
horrific.
One of the lowest numbers we've seen in years.
Since January of 2011. Yeah, very,
oh my
very bad.
Gosh. And so can it just all be, you know, I mean, our economy's pretty large. Can cold weather really knock it down to that low of a number?
When I look at construction jobs declining for the first time in a very long time, that might suggest it. But also, the unemployment rate went from 7% down to 6.7%. And you might think that looks good, but in part that's because people still appear to be withdrawing from the labor force and just giving up.
That's right, just giving up. Because they're tired of looking for jobs and they get out of the labor market. And we see as they're talking about this on Morning Joe. This is from Morning Joe. And I'm telling you, people are frustrated. And every time they think the economy is about to really turn the corner, we get smacked down. And I still am amazed that people in these commentaries, they don't look at the Obama administration and call it to task. Let's listen. At least they're realizing there's some damage going on here and questioning what's happening. So let's listen to another minute here, and then I'll finish up this segment on the economy.
Looking for a job, and so that's why, in part, that number got smaller.
So as you were saying that it dropped from 7 to 6.7%. Lee, you just said something that would sound counterintuitive, but you said, "Oh gosh, that's not good."
That's not good.
That's really
because
bad news.
It's not
why?
Because it's a big drop with these numbers being so poor.
Right.
And you know, every month we go through this, the unemployment rate is going to drop as more people fall out of the workforce, and sometimes
as
you're
more
sort
people
of,
just
they drop
up,
they give up looking. They just give up looking, and then you stop getting counted.
And just as she said, you stop getting counted. And that leads us to what we call the workforce participation. It is the lowest level since 1978. That means the percentage of people, the population of America, the number of people working in America, percentage-wise, is the lowest since 1978, folks. And think back then, you didn't have as many women in the workforce, and have many people of color in the workforce. We've come a long way, we think, when it comes to America all participating. And yet now we look and say there was more people working in 1978 in the workforce participation. So I want you to realize, for years, everybody's looked at the unemployment numbers. And I believe this administration has figured it out. If we can get the unemployment numbers down, people take the heat off us about jobs, and they don't care about what's more important, and it's the workforce participation rate. We basically, like I said before, we got more people in the wagon than pulling the wagon than we've had since Jimmy Carter was president. Does that remind you of malaise? Well, maybe Obama is in his own malaise. He's put America in a malaise. We're in a daze, and nobody's woken up yet. Well, I take that back. You and me and others have. But we've got to get other people educated that workforce participation number and what it means. Because if there's more people in the wagon waiting for fewer people to pull them, the wagon's going to go slower and slower. Does that sound familiar? Is that maybe why we got such a sluggish recovery? If it is a recovery, we need to get people in the workforce, out to work, and you get jobs. We've said it here over and over and over. You get jobs by cutting regulation, cutting red tape, cutting taxes, giving people who work hard more for what they work for, and they'll hire more people. And by golly, we'll get this economy a robust coming home celebration when you put the right leaders in power. Wow. Makes me want to get up and run for office. Now, listen, we have this week's Unaffordable Uncaring Act update. Take a listen to this. They came out celebrating all the numbers for Obamacare. Said, oh my goodness, Obamacare, we've got over 6 million people signed up. Of course, majority of that is the what they call the expanding the Medicaid, Obama's Medicaid expansion, and it's happening in half the states. But the trouble is they won't tell you how many people signed up because they found out they're eligible, how many people are signing up, and some of these numbers are people who have to sign up year after year, and they're just regular Medicaid enrollees that have to sign up for another year. So what are the figures? The White House has not told. So can you agree, or can you respect the figures given out by the White House? I think we have a communications problem, a big-time communications problem, and it's time other people other than Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics starts letting you know. You have to suspect all the figures coming out of the White House. They have been groomed to mislead. They have been more than groomed to mislead. Some of them are downright provocative in their extreme meanness as far as not representing people. People say, where's the compassion in the Republican Party? Where's the compassion to tell the truth from this White House? Because so many people are getting hurt by the wrong figures coming out of the White House. What do I mean by that? We heard before the election how the employment rate dropped down below 8%. How did they get the numbers to do that? None other than the former CEO of General Electric questioning those numbers, and they got hounded by the press. I just can't believe any numbers come from this White House, this administration. So I have to tell you that look at the workforce participation rate to see how those things stack up in the next few months. And people are hurting for good paying jobs because we have a stagnant, sick, swamp water economy. Thanks to Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and President Barack Obama. That's this week's Unaffordable, Uncaring update. And next week, let me tell you, be sure to listen. I told you about some things happening with young people. We're going to check back in with Marko Sukovic. And remember, we had him on the show last year. He's part of Turning Point USA, a teenager out there working hard, trying to explain to people, their own peers especially, that their future is dim unless this out-of-control spending comes to a halt. And we're going to get him on here in the next week or two. Also, I ran into Brian Brown. And those, you've heard me mention him before, but he's the president of the National Organization for Marriage. And I asked Brian Brown about an update because his organization is suing the IRS for information that they know they can prove was leaked from the IRS that was a criminal act. And we've just had the representative from the White House investigating the IRS, who the investigator had given money to the Obama administration, and they said the FBI has come out and said there's no criminal action to work on in the IRS, just incompetence. Well, we beg to differ, because the National Organization of Marriage says there is a criminal act that occurred to their organization. They're going to court. And we're going to get an update from Brian Brown coming up here either next week or next. Be listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We've got some great shows coming up.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.